Wonderful to stop and realize that the God of all glory stepped into this world as unchangeable, as someone who was filled with grace and truth. Can you imagine people at that time experiencing the joy of being with someone who was filled with no deception, filled with a grace, an openness, a love, an outpouring of understanding, of patience, but with truth. You knew what he stood for. You knew what he was doing. It wasn't something that he was trying to manipulate or deceive people. That is the God of this universe who stepped down into this world, Jesus Christ. What an incredible, incredible experience. And Jesus wants us to look to him and to experience the joy of being with someone who is perfectly true and wants us to experience truth in our lives. Deception is something that is very, very powerful. Some quips here. Relationships are about trust. If you have to play detective, it's time to move on. Right? It's sad. You don't know me. You only know what I allow you to know. Wow. Is that true about you? It's true about all of us. There are some things that we really don't want to broadcast out there, right? All warfare is based upon deception. And that's an important thought to have in your mind today as we go through the message. As we think that Jesus provides protection from deception. If all warfare is deception, it's based on deception, then we need to have some protection, don't we? Because the enemy of our soul is coming against us with all the deception that he can muster. That's what we saw last week when we looked at Matthew chapter 24. Jesus answered and said to them when they were wondering about when will the end come? And he said to them, take heed that no one what? Deceives you, misleads you into death. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive, not a few, will deceive many. And so the disciples are saying, well, what about this end? What about the end? Well, we know that all the kingdoms of this world, as we saw last week, need to come to an end so that your kingdom can be established. And we want to see your kingdom established, but we know that is when the end occurs for all the kingdoms of this world, and then your kingdom will be established. And Jesus says, be careful. Before that time, there's going to be a lot of deception. And there's a lot of deception in the religious world today, in the spiritual world today, all around us. Lots of deception. But Jesus is talking specifically to them about that 7 years at the end, just before Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom, brings about judgment on the nations, and then establishes his kingdom for 1,000 years here on earth. But this deception that we're talking about began in the garden. From the time of the garden, the enemy of our soul has worked his deception, and the basis for his deception has never changed. Never changed. His basis of deception is you can be like God. You can be powerful. You can determine your own destiny. You don't have to have someone telling you what to do. And that's what I want you to understand from the very beginning of this message. You and myself struggle with people telling us what to do. And that is the relationship between God and his creation. We should listen and respond to what he has told us to do. That's where Satan showed up and said to Eve, "You shall not die. God doesn't have that kind of power over you. You can eat. You don't have to keep yourself from indulging in what you want. You can call the shots." And it has never changed. Satan continues to come and to say to each one of us, "You can do what you want. You don't have to take seriously what God has said in his word." Jesus goes on there in Matthew 24:6-14. He says, "You're going to hear about wars. You're going to hear about rumors of wars, pestilences, famines. You're going to hear about how nation rises against nation. You're going to be hated by everyone. It's going to be a real mess. And then the end shall come." He says the gospel is going to be preached throughout all of the world. What mercy, what grace. God never stops reaching out. Even at those 7 years of tribulation, the church has been raptured. It's gone. And now people are looking for direction. And we saw that the Antichrist shows up right there at the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation. And he goes out to establish himself as the one who can bring peace to the world. It's a very short-lived peace. "He endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." So he goes back. He goes back to a time where God has given Daniel a prophecy. And that prophecy takes in a period of time, 7 weeks and then 62 weeks, which combines for 69 weeks. And then he talks about the Messiah, the prince, being cut off, but not for himself. He doesn't die for his own reason. He dies for the purpose of the world. And then the Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. And then in the future, a seven-year kingdom that is going to be established by the Antichrist, the one against Christ. We see Daniel 9:27 there. "He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week." He shall confirm. And this is the prince, the false prince, the Antichrist. And when it says 1 week there, all commentators are in agreement with this. It's talking about 7 years, a week of 7 years. That is the understanding. "But in the middle of the week, in the middle of the 7 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. An end on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate." And so this is the picture of the Antichrist coming and bringing desolation, affliction to the world with the promise that he is going to bring everyone together. And it's interesting that we hear politicians always saying, "We need peace in our world. We need to come together and have peace." And now we have a movement of globalists who want all nations to come under one law. And so it's being set up perfect for the Antichrist. Now, I don't know. It might be another 100 years from now. It might be 1,000 years from now. It might be in another 5 minutes. Jesus could call us, the church, those who are truly alive in him, could call us and we could leave right now. And some of you would be left wondering what in the world happened. And I'm trying to tell you, Jesus called everybody home that belonged to him to be in heaven with him forever. And so what is left is the deception of the Antichrist. And just an overview of this is Daniel's 70 weeks And this is, I just got this for you to see what Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. And you can look at that and see that mapped out where it talks about the 69 weeks, the triumphal entry from the point of the prophecy being given to the 69 weeks of years, 69 times 7. It goes to March 30th, AD 33, the triumphal entry. A few days later, Jesus is cut off, according to that passage of Scripture there in Daniel chapter 9. And he is crucified, goes into the grave, and is raised from the grave. But also, the city and temple is destroyed. That's part of the prophecy there in Daniel chapter 9. Then we have the church age that we are in right now, waiting for Christ to call his church to be with him. And then the 7 years of tribulation is going to start. It's going to be broken up into two parts. First 3.5 years, second 3.5 years. And then the Messiah returns. Jesus returns at the end of that to establish his kingdom. Now, there in your notes, You can just write in there in that first illustration, 3.5 years. It's real simple. 3.5 years. If you don't want to be deceived, listen to the words of Jesus. Now, this is going to be the most intense time of suffering and affliction that anyone is ever going to experience for the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, we experience suffering with people making fun of us or not getting a promotion because you've been a little bit too vocal about Christ and you don't fit in a proper way. You're a Bible thumper, whatever it is. But it can't compare to what's going to happen in the 7 years of tribulation when you stand for Jesus Christ. Now, there are people around the world who are suffering terribly because of the name of Jesus right now. Okay, we have a problem with the what happened here. Okay, good. No, don't want to do that yet. Okay, so this time of incredible deception that is going on. And we see there in Revelation 13, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Because you say to yourself, 3.5 years. Pastor, how do you know it's at 3.5 years? Well, Daniel 9 tells me it's in the middle, comes in the middle of the week. But then Revelation tells me that he was given authority for 42 months. Now, that's 3.5 years, 42 months. And he was given authority to continue. He's speaking blasphemies. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 4, I don't know if you have that in your notes. You can write it in there. The issue is the Apostle Paul says he is given power to speak blasphemies. And so the Apostle Paul confirms what Revelation is talking about here. That this is the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, who is going to be established. And he is going to be speaking in a way to deceive the masses. Jesus is telling them, listen to me and you'll be protected. Now, if we listen to Jesus now, we're going to be protected against deceptions now. And the deceptions are all around us. I still shake my head on how people can follow Mormonism, where Mormonism teaches that Jesus is the half-brother of Christ. And that someday, if you do what is right according to the Mormon church, you're going to be a god someday. Maybe even have your own planet, if you're a man. You'll have lots of wives. Doesn't sound too good for the women. I mean, it's just amazing what you can do when people are unwilling to take God's word at face value and say, I want to listen to what Jesus has told me. I want to surrender to what Christ has for my life. And so we see here that he's opening his mouth and it's going to be for 42 months. And so you can write there on your notes there, 42 months on that second slot. 3.5 years. It doesn't stop there. The woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her for 1,260 days. Now, that also is 3.5 years or 42 months. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, you know, how do you know that? Some days are 31, some days are 29, some months are different days. But in a biblical month, when you go back into Genesis, you'll see when Noah comes out and it's been 5 months, he's been in the ark, it's 150 days. It's the biblical month is 30 days. And so here we have 3.5 years, 42 months, or 1,260 days. And all of them are 3.5 years. And so God's word is very precise. And so what a person in the tribulation can say is this. He can say, you know what? I don't care what anybody tells me. God has told me that when the Antichrist sets himself up as God in the temple, and he blasphemes the name of God, and he speaks against the name of God, I know it's 3.5 years that are left. What incredible mercy. What incredible grace that God has poured out. Now, a lot of people are not going to be able to see it because they'll say, this is all a bunch of nonsense. This is nonsense. But those who are now taking seriously the word of Jesus Christ say, I know exactly when he is going to come back and pronounce judgment, bring judgment unto this world. I have no doubt about it. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, this verse in Revelation 12:6, where it says, the woman fled into the wilderness. How do you know that that is talking about people who are living for Christ or wanting to follow Christ? Well, when I go to Matthew 24, Jesus says, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. He's telling them there's going to be a time when you see that abomination of desolation, flee. Take off immediately. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Now, that sounds pretty fast, doesn't it? That sounds pretty urgent. It means get out of town real quick. Now, some people want to say, you know, he's talking about the 70 AD experience when the Roman armies came and surrounded Jerusalem and came in and destroyed it. No, it's not talking about that. Daniel 9 talks about that. When it says that the people of the prince come and destroy the city. The people of the prince, but the prince isn't here yet. And so, let them who are in the field not go back to get his clothes. Wow, that's so urgent. And so, back in Revelation 12:6, flee. She flees into the wilderness. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. So he's speaking here to the nation of Israel. And the disciples are asking him in the context of that. See, people want to apply Matthew 24 to their lives today. They say, oh, we can see these signs. No, you can't. Have we always had famines and earthquakes? Yes. Have we always had wars? Yes. But it's going to be different in the 7 years. It's going to be a different moment because the church is going to be supernaturally taken from this world. Now, when you have everyone who has surrendered to Jesus Christ taken out of the world, what do you have left? Jesus said that lawlessness, the love of many, will wax cold and lawlessness will abound. It is going to be a real, real mess. And so when wars come, they're going to be unlike anything that the world has ever seen. Earthquakes, pestilences. It's going to be completely different. But he wants them to see this through the eyes of Israel, because that's who he's talking to, his disciples who are Jews. And they're asking him about the kingdom of Christ. But for us, we need to remind ourselves, this is the heart of Christ. He doesn't want any of us to be deceived. But the deception of the enemy of our soul is powerful. Satan hasn't stopped trying to deceive you. And he will not stop until Jesus comes back again. There'll be a great tribulation such as has not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. For the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And if you want to see what that's like, you can go to Revelation chapter 8, verse 12. That John records that in Revelation 8 there. So Jesus is saying this is an incredible time, but if you want to be protected against deception, look when the abomination of desolation is set up. Now, you might say, well, how does that benefit me? I'm a real Christian. I'm not going to go through the tribulation. I'll probably die before the rapture. You don't know that. But if the rapture takes place, what difference does it mean for me? Don't you like to watch a sporting event? Don't you like to see who wins? Well, you've invested all of your life in a family, in the family of God. Do you want to see how it plays out the last 7 years? You better believe it. You want to see what's happening. You want to be ready for it. But it means right now that you have to receive the protection of Jesus Christ against deception in your life. You need to be reading his truth. You need to be thinking his thoughts. You need to accept the enemy of my soul wants to deceive me and manipulate me and take me away from Jesus Christ. He goes on, then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ or there, don't believe it. And yet, in the last 2,000 years, have people been telling others, oh, I'm the Christ. Sun Myung-moon said, oh, I'm the Christ. Other people have said, I'm the Christ. No. No. We know that when Jesus comes back again, believe me, it is not going to be something where people are scratching their heads and wondering whether or not it's Christ. Remember last week we saw that the great men, the mighty men, the kings of this world, they cried out and they said for the rocks. They called for the rocks to cover them up and to fall on them. Why? Because it's the day of the great day of the wrath of the Lamb. They had no doubt in their mind Jesus was back again. They had no doubts. So this is not the time to be saying, oh, you know what? Such and such says that Jesus is going to be coming back again in May 22nd of 2001 or 2002. Well, you know what? We already passed those dates, but there were very... Remember camping? Camping said, hey, there's a time then that Jesus is going to come back again. I mean, nonsensical thinking. Only God knows what he is doing at the end here. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who works signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark. Don't be impressed with signs and miracles. That's one of the things that evangelists, tele-evangelists, want. They want to build up their miracles, so-called miracles. And even if someone does a miracle, it doesn't mean that they're based on the truth. And this is something that was powerful during the 7 years of tribulation. And those two were cast into the lake of fire, right? See, I have told you beforehand. Don't you love that? I've told you beforehand. I told you so that you're not going to have any confusion about this. So whoever goes through the 7 years of tribulation, the heart of Jesus has not changed. He wants to protect you from deception. That's what he wants for our lives today. If deception wasn't so powerful, if it wasn't so prevalent, do you think Jesus would be this concerned about it? It hasn't changed from the garden. Keep that in your mind. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, is it? It is against Satan and all of his wickedness and all of his deception. He wants to bring deception against us. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, don't go out there. Look, he's in the inner rooms. Don't believe it. Don't believe it when they're telling you Jesus is close. Jesus is here. Nobody knows. Which means what? I need to live now for his glory, for his honor, and make sure that I've listened to his truth. I make sure that I've hidden it in my heart. Make sure that I'm filled with his word so that I can't be deceived. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of man be. Jesus is saying, when it says flashes here, it's a word meaning appear. And this is a word where Jesus is saying, no one is going to be wondering if I'm here. Because when lightning flashes across the sky, everybody goes, whoa! They see it. Everybody sees it. And that's what Jesus is saying. Everyone is going to see it. Everyone is going to see me. And for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. Now, what is he talking about there? What is he talking about there? Well, he is talking literally about the judgment of Jesus when he comes back at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. The 7 years have finished. Boom. That moment, Jesus comes back again and brings about devastation to the kingdoms. The rest were killed and the sword. And we're talking in this passage where Jesus comes out of heaven. He's on his white horse, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The sword comes out of his mouth. The word of God as a sword comes out of his mouth and slays all the nations. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. All the birds were filled with their flesh. Well, if I go back, I say, where's the carcass? Wherever the carcass is, the eagles. And that word is for vultures, for a scavenger, a bird. And they'll be gathered together there. And that's the fulfillment of it there in Revelation 19. You know, as I go through this, the scripture, I want you to have in your mind, you know what? I'm not going to go through the tribulation because I know I am alive in Jesus Christ. So then why, Pastor, should I be so concerned about this teaching? Because you want, number one, to catch the heart of Jesus and to say if he's that concerned about these people not being deceived, then he's that concerned about me not being deceived. And if he's that concerned, deception must be pretty powerful. Don't think in your mind, well, you know what? I've been brought up in the church. I read the Bible. I know so many people. Jehovah's Witnesses were started by people who were part of the traditional church. And they were deceived. Completely deceived. That's shocking, isn't it? That's something that boggles your mind. That they would come to a place where they build a worldwide organization that says, Jesus is not God. You don't worship Jesus. It's so clear in Scripture. He's worshiped all through the New Testament. And yet they say, no, he's not God. They were completely overcome by this deception. So don't act as if it's not powerful, the deception of the enemy of your soul. It is. Jesus wants to protect you. Well, are you alive in Christ and ready to die or to be raptured? Good question. You need to be able to answer that. That's one of the first questions that I want you to be able to answer. Have you been deceived thinking that you're God? That's what Eve was deceived by in Adam. Satan said, you'll be like God. You'll be powerful. You'll know good and evil. You'll know so much, you'll be able to guide your own life. You'll be able to determine what's right and what's wrong in this so-called Bible. And if you don't like it, write the Book of Mormon. If you don't like it, read the Watchtower. construct something else. These people have bought a deception from the enemy wanting to be God. And you shall have no other gods before me, right? That's what God said there in the Ten Commandments. And yet what we do is we listen and say, I want to do my own thing. You've listened to the enemy, the lie of the enemy. So, Matthew 7 tells us, Jesus tells us here in Matthew 7, that we are to enter into the narrow gate. Now, that should stop you right there. That narrow gate means very narrow. Nothing gets in but a life that is repentant. A life that has turned from all of its arrogance, thinking, I'm God, worshiping itself, disrespecting parents, living sexual immorality in my heart, having anger and bitterness in my heart, lying, stealing, coveting, breaking all the Ten Commandments. All of it has to be repented of. You can't bring anything in to the presence of God. You have to come broken, convicted, and repentant, and believing that what Jesus did on the cross, shedding his blood, is the only payment for your sin. Boy, that's very restrictive, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing else you can bring in. There's no good works. You have no righteousness of your own. It's very narrow. You're stripped of everything, and then you're ready to receive the righteousness of Christ. That's exciting if you want life in Christ forever. But Jesus goes on and he says, for wide is the gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And there are only a couple people who are going in that way. No, he says many. He says there's many who are going in that way. And so you need to stop and say to yourself, you know what? Just because lots of people are going in this way doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right. You need to say that to yourself immediately. Just because lots of people are saying, oh, this is the way, you've got to come. They're so popular. Look at all these people coming. Oh, this is just wonderful. Be careful. Be careful. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. That word difficult, phlebo there, is the same word that is used of tribulation that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 24. A tribulation so great that it's never been seen before. It's affliction. And so Jesus is saying that going through the narrow gate, and it's difficult. It's filled with affliction. The way that you're going to be following Jesus is going to be filled with persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the name of Christ. That's what Jesus taught, his first message. Can you believe it? He's trying to get people to follow him. And he's saying, blessed are you when men revile and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of who? On account of Jesus Christ. That's his first message. You'd like to take Jesus aside and just tell him, you know, if you'd like to market what you're doing and you want people to get to follow you and kind of like, you know, let them have some time to warm up to you a little bit. You might not want to say that right up front. Why don't you wait until, you know, a few years later? Jesus wanted them to understand right away what it meant. Because he wanted people to come into the kingdom without deception. Because there's a broad way that is out there saying, come this way, come this way. You want to get to heaven? Come this way. It's easy. Just all you have to do is believe. Just come in. Everybody, gee, God has made it so easy. And then I go, but Jesus said, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Who am I going to believe? Who will I believe? The message out there is, it's easy, it's easy. Just say this prayer. It's easy. God's made it so easy. It's narrow and difficult. Jesus, maybe you didn't get it right. Are you sure you got it right? Which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Many who are on the Broadway, few who find it. You know, toward the end of his ministry, probably into the last year of his ministry, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's asking them, who do people say that I am? And we know that Peter finally came to the place, you're the Christ, you're the promised one, you are the Messiah. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And he begins to share with them, now that they have this insight, I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die. And after 3 days, I'll be raised from the dead. Now, you and I hear that and we say, okay, all right, there's victory. Why do you have to die? You know, I want to ask you a question, Jesus. Why do you have to die? None of them ask the question. They should have asked the question, right? Why do you have to die? That's a question you have to make sure you've answered. Well, Jesus had to die because I was dead in my sin, because I was filled with wickedness, because I'm lawless. I'm going to be in hell forever and ever and ever. And he doesn't want that for my life. He has provided a way out. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So that question's been answered for us 2,000 years later, very clearly, all through the New Testament. We have that wonderful luxury. They didn't. They didn't ask the question. They're probably just overwhelmed, not really hearing everything. But Peter heard what he wanted to hear. And he goes to him and he pulls Jesus aside. And he says, this can't be. This can't be. Now, what does Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Peter is deceived. Peter is deceived into saying that's not the right way. Every time you go to Scripture, you are going to have temptation come against you by the enemy of your soul. And he's going to be saying, it's really not that way. You can massage this passage of Scripture and make it mean something else. You have to be very, very careful. Very careful. Allow the Word to speak. Allow Jesus to speak through His Word and affect your heart. You know, I think of that, and I think of what Jesus said right after he rebuked Peter. And he called the people. There were many, many people following him. He called them to himself with the disciples. That's what it says there in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And he says, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He'll die. You'll have to die to what you think is so important. And constantly, constantly fill yourself with the truth that is most important. What I've taught, what I've said. He went on and he said, you know, if you don't deny yourself, he said, if you try and save yourself, you're going to lose your life. If you lose your life for my sake, and for the Gospels, you will save your life. What does it profit? He's trying to use logic on his disciples and all the people that are standing around him. What profit is there if you try to gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? You lose your soul to the deception that the enemy brings before you. You can be like God. You can call your own shots. And that's really the issue. It hasn't changed. And today, I want you to just say, Lord, where am I today? Where am I today? Am I controlled by a deception that keeps telling you that all these good people can't be going to hell? Think of it. Many people say that to me all the time. What do you mean? Pastor, what you're saying, then a lot of people are going to hell. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. Many. Many. Don't be deceived by what things look on the outward appearance. Listen to the truth that Jesus has spoken. Let it guide you. If not, then you're going to be a candidate for Satan to come to you and say, you can be like God. And it's a lie. It's a lie. He wants to protect you against it. And the way he's done it, he's spoken forth his truth. Focus on his truth. Hide it in your heart. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that today we will walk humbly and acknowledge we desperately, desperately need your truth in our hearts, in our lives. I thank you for this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.